All right, now, so we said Jesus was speaking at the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and I told you there's a significance about where he spoke to Peter. It's a place, the HQ of the powers of darkness. So Jesus gives a very important information at a sensitive location where he says, "Who do you say I am?" Now, because of that location, they called let's call him the ruler of that district, they called him the Christ and the Son of the Living God. So when he says, "Who do you say that I am?" And they are standing at that rock called the Gates of Hell. It's also called the Bottomless. It's like a structure of hell. They have a place called Gates of Hell there. It's in some of our books. We put it in there. I think these are God. It must have been I think it's Faithfulness or so. And some of our books. We won't give you the pictures there. That is, the place is a location called the Gates of Hell. And it's dreaded. So he goes there and he says, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." So let's change the word rock. Right? In these areas of powers of darkness. Is that correct? Can we say also where sin is prevailing? Right? Can we say where the devil is ruling? Okay? Can we say where darkness is darkest? Good. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Which means that when we see people who are into perversions, idol worship, atheism, agnostics, that is raw material for his house. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not withstand it. That's a proper language there. It's not, will not prevail. It's a defensive word. Will not withstand it. Therefore, it means that, I'm going to show you something in a moment. It means therefore that the mission of God for his church, right, is confrontational. And I'm going to explain it to you now. It's not the kind of confrontational that you go and be argue with people. No. It's confrontational. Now, there's a phrase we often use. And go to Mark 16:15 quickly. I just want to go through this very quickly. Mark 16:15. It says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." Is that it? Now, you know, we read Matthew 24:14. The gospel of this kingdom. Now, if you ask someone what's gospel, they will say good news. Which is true, but not totally true. Okay? Now, you know, we said earlier that the context of the four gospels is where? The Old Testament. And those words are not, first of all, English words. They are primarily Hebrew words, because the first part of the Bible was written in Hebrew. So which means when Jesus was teaching this, when he was saying this, his reference point was the Old Testament. Now, I'm not saying gospel is not good news, but it doesn't capture the total picture of it. Now, in typical Greek, because why do we say Greek and Hebrew? Because the original writers never spoke English. English language is barely 1,000 years old. So it's not possible for Jesus to have spoken English. Or Paul or Peter. Talk less of Moses. It's not possible. Remember, someone told me one time, he said, "I don't like people saying this Greek and Hebrew thing. I want the language of the Holy Spirit." So I said, "What's the language of Jesus?" "The language of the Holy Spirit." So I said, "Calm down. Did the Holy Spirit inspire the writers?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Very well." So 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." So God inspired the writers. It's fine. I said, "The writers that the Holy Spirit inspired, what language did they speak? Did they speak English?" He said, "No." If they wrote the Old Testament, that means they spoke Hebrew. If they wrote the New Testament, that means they spoke Greek. Now, there are some languages I don't understand. I remember what year was that. I was working, I had a boss then who I used to work with him. So, we went to a country to do something with the government. So as we got there, the man introduced me in French. I didn't know what he was saying. I didn't know he meant lawyer. He said, he spoke, the man speaks 12 languages. So he said, this is an avocat. I said, avocat, it looks like avocado. So I said, doctor, what does he say? That's lawyer. So I said, yeah, advocate. Now, you know, it will not be possible for God to now inspire me to write the Bible in French. I don't even understand it. It will have to be the language that I understand. So, which means that if the writers of the Old Testament spoke Hebrew and New Testament spoke Greek, that means that God would inspire them using their own languages. Good. So the guy said, okay, I got that. So that means that the language of the author will be the language that God adopted. He said, yes. Fine. So I asked again, the language of the writers of the Old Testament, he said Hebrew. Language of the New Testament writer, he said Greek. So what then is the language of the Holy Spirit? Hebrew and Greek. Is that clear enough? So it's not like, you're just being academic. I want the language of the Holy Spirit. That's the language of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So I said that if you look at the meaning of the word gospel in Hebrew is basar, B-A-S-A-R. Now, what it relates with, now very significantly, maybe I should mention this, is the fact that that word was used first in the whole Bible in 1 Samuel. Now, you know, 1 Samuel is about kingdom. 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, you now get to the Psalms, then Isaiah, and all of that. So, which means the word basar, which is where we get the word gospel, has to do with a king, a kingdom, territories. It also includes war, claiming territories. A king, a kingdom. So it goes beyond a simplistic definition. Gospel will bring in a king, a kingdom. A short form that I use for the word gospel are events, exploits in a kingdom or the kingdom. So the word gospel includes warfare. That's why Paul will say in 2 Corinthians 10:3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare, and he's talking about preaching, are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, 2 Corinthians 10:4, to the pulling down of strongholds. So, which means he knows that the preaching of the gospel is a terminology, or the word gospel is a terminology that has to do with warfare. It has to do with warfare, claiming territories. So that's why I said go into all the world and preach the gospel. At the background of that word is warfare. But not the regular human warfare. It's a conflict word. Preach the gospel. You can also say take territories. Uproot the works of darkness. Right? Establish the kingdom of God. That's what gospel means. So when Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. How was it? The rock there can be the powers of darkness. The works of the devil. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then it says, thou art Peter. Look, I said that earlier. It says, I will give to you the keys of what? The kingdom. We're going to see that in a moment. The keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. Now, yesterday night, I said to us that the first thing in walking with God is recognition, knowing who you are, identification. Who am I? Let me take us back a bit to where, how we got there. They asked Jesus a question about divorce. Rather than say, ah, it's not good now, you should not divorce your wife, why should you? Can't you go for counseling or therapy? He didn't say anything like that. He said, have you not read? The first thing he identified was an identity problem. That he which made them at the beginning. Now, when he says them at the beginning, he's not talking about husband and wife. The first thing about a woman in the Bible is not a wife. You don't see woman as wife until the second chapter. The first thing about a woman in scripture is in the image of God. And God is not a wife. Amen. Up of Jesus. Down, down, sit down. In the image and likeness of God. Now, this is not to go home and say, you say I'm not your wife. That's not to be. In the image and likeness of God, let them have what? Dominion. Now, pay attention. Which means that all of us here, no matter which nation you are from, no matter what tribe you belong to, we have the same purpose. Let them. That means we may differ where we live. We may differ where we stay. We may even differ in the clubs we support. I don't know why I want to talk about Chelsea one way or the other. There's a way I want to get in. I don't know. I just, so I'm looking for a way to go around it so that I will not be seen to be preaching a heresy. We may have different career paths. But our career is not our purpose. Because an unsaved man will share the same purpose then. Many of those who even mentor us in our career are not Christians. And it's not evil. I operate in the business world. My first two mentors are Muslims. They are Muslims. Because I'm not asking them to teach me the Bible. Do you understand? I mean, my best footballer. I know, I'm not sure. You know, my best footballer is CR7, Cristiano Ronaldo. He doesn't have the mercy of God. I don't know what's on your heart. So you can't say, well, my purpose in life is to be a medical doctor. That doesn't make sense. You don't have to be a Christian to be a medical doctor. So I say, well, I didn't know I could be great till I became a Christian. And that's a background problem. Because naturally, as a child, you want to be the best in your class. It's not the Holy Spirit that brought that. That's just natural human instinct. So if you needed a church to want to be great, your problem is not spiritual. Amen? I mean, as a child, I was practicing being a millionaire. They will not play Monopoly. And you'll be lying to yourself. So that has nothing to do with coming to church. Okay? And so you can't define your purpose in life by things like that. Your purpose in life is defined by the scriptures. Let us make humankind so we all have a corporate status. And that's why he said, the first thing that is the problem in the thinking of that Jewish man that asked the question, he has an identity crisis problem. He's thinking of the woman the way surrounding cultures think about the woman. So the first thing is, that woman in your house, she is your wife, but primarily she is in the image of God. And in that image of God, God gave her a mandate, just like he gave you. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over everything that creeps on the earth. He said, to replenish the earth, to subdue it, and to fill it. Is that his house? So, when he spoke to Adam the next, so the first, Genesis 1, is about male, mankind generally. Genesis 2 is now male and female. Okay, a definite man and woman. Adam and Eve. So this Adam, he's caused to be in a deep sleep. And I said that deep sleep is a vision. Then he shows him who the woman is. And he saw that that woman is not different from him. It's a side of the house that he belongs to. And that is important. When we go into relationships, not even just marital, to have the proper biblical identification. Who is this person? In the plan of God. In the plan of God, a woman is not firstly a wife or a mother. She's firstly in the image of God and in the likeness of God. Let me explain what image is to you. Now, the way you can understand this, I know I'm an African, the people here that are not Africans, but I'm going to use the African explanation for you. Is that, now, if you see people who worship some deities, call them gods, idols, they usually have a physical representation. And that physical representation, concrete, material, you know, they relate with it like they're relating with the unseen being. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, that, what we call idol, is the image of that unseen being. It's representative. You will have to treat that person, that as an inanimate object, like you will treat the unseen being. Don't forget, we said that this whole earth is what? God's, now change it, God's temple. So what will be his physical representation? Man. So that man, humankind, is in his image. Because the Greek, the Hebrew word there is telem, T-S-E-L-E-M. It's a physical representation of an unseen being. So, which means our first identity is a supernatural one. You have primarily a supernatural function in the earth. Say, I have a supernatural identity and function in the earth. Marriage is a natural union and it's of God. But it's meant to reflect something else that we'll probably look at. So, before you are a wife or mother, or you are a husband or father, you are in the image of God. And in that image, God has given to you a mandate to have dominion, which is a kingdom, to replenish the earth, to fill the earth. You can add the word with his glory. So all of us here, irrespective of your skill set, there are things that are not my skill set. I didn't want to acquire them. I just get them, come and do this for me. There's some things I don't care. I'm not pro it. There are others, that's what they like. Some say, well, I just found out that God's purpose for my life is I know how to count money. No. That's not it. That's a good skill. You acquire, you are trained, and all of that. God's purposes for our lives would require the work of the Spirit. Don't forget that. It will require the work of the Spirit. That was when he made man. I know your pastor must have taught you this. And he said in Genesis 2, it is not good that man be alone, Genesis 2, 18. And he says, let us make a help meet. You know, a help meet. He didn't say a house meet. He said a help meet. Now, the help meet in the entire Bible, that word help is ezer, E-Z-E-R in the Hebrew. If it refers to a woman or a wife, it will be problematic. Because it means someone who rescues you from danger. I know some men, their wives are like that. But that's not what we're talking about. One who rescues you from trouble. And in the Old Testament, largely it was used for God. The Lord is my helper. I'll lift up my eyes to the hills from where cometh my help. That's the word there. One who rescues you from trouble. And so let us make a help meet for him. Alright? That word is Nagad Ezer, which means ahead of him. That is, I've made a provision that when you have faults, which you would, when you make errors, there is a help. Say, I have help. That helper is not a woman, no. So if the wife is your helper, who is our own? Amen? That's for another day. So, this man that God has made is male and female. And is in the image of God. So my purpose, and look at that man to Genesis 2:15, he put him in a garden. A garden, there in Genesis 2, is actually a supernatural world. What you have seen, the garden issue is a figure of speech. And he asks him, Genesis 2:15, to dress and keep it. If you keep reading the Old Testament, you see that to dress and keep it is the office of a priest, which means that God has made you and I his priests in the earth. That's why when he called Israel, he called the entire nation, the entire nation of Israel. He said, you are priests and kings to me. Exodus 19:5-6. That includes women and men. In fact, in Exodus 4:22-23, he called the entire nation of Israel, male and female, my son, my firstborn. He's not using biological terms. So you notice that he gives everybody the same status. Are you following this? Now, where we will differ will be where. Where we carry it out, to whom we carry it out to, and when. But the status is the same thing. At the beginning. So, a fellow who asks Jesus the question about, should I put away my wife? The first problem he has is identification. He doesn't even know who the woman is. He has defined the woman from culture. He has defined the woman from television. He has defined the woman from information. He has defined the woman from psychology, but not from God's word. In God's word, right? In God's word, male and female is, or I don't want to use the word, is in the image of God. Are to reflect God's character, to reflect his work on earth, to reflect his purpose on earth. So, if you are asked, if you don't go into details, why am I on earth? To be in his image. To be in his likeness. You will not find fulfillment elsewhere. So if you go into marriage looking for fulfillment, you will be empty. You will take that fulfillment to marriage. If you go into, you're trying to make money, and you won't get that fulfillment. The fulfillment starts with who you are. Let me show you the following what I'm saying this afternoon. It's who you are. You won't find it in persons. You won't find it in things or events. You can only find it in God. So, your life's fulfillment is in functioning in God's plan. What is God's plan for you? At the beginning. To be in his image. In that image, you are his priest. In that image, you are his king. Use queen if you like. You are his king. And don't forget, unlike human government, is not king over other men. Since we all have the same corporate function, is not king over other men. In that image, you are a priest. In that image, think. In that image, you have dominion. So when you received Jesus, You know, I said yesterday, we've overstated the sin issue. Oh, sin. God, so it's almost like, God, I used to sin, so God gave Jesus, he forgave my sin, then from there I just go to heaven and that's the end. If that is all about being born again, your Bible will not be that big. It's too big for that short story. I was a sinner. I met Jesus. I'm going to heaven. 5 lines. We're done. The Bible unveils purpose. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? In fact, if my parents are not saved and they don't have the Holy Spirit, they can't tell why they gave birth to me. They have their own idea, but that's where it ends. That's where it ends. That's why you find out in the Old Testament, the parents usually have a revelation of who the child is. So, my purpose on earth is not tied to my culture. It's not tied to my past. It's not tied to the nation I live in, or at. It's not tied to how I was born. It's tied to God's plan, which has never changed. At the beginning, He made them male and female. Which means that the purpose of God for my life is why I'm here. Hallelujah. You will never again be confused about your identity. Never. You won't be impressionable. There's no, you see, You're trying to reflect what they are watching, what people around them, so their environment dictates how they dress, how they think. No, you are born of the Spirit. And nothing should manipulate you. Nothing should control you. You are controlled by the Spirit of God. I said you are controlled by the Spirit of God. The environment cannot dictate your behavior. Because you are in the image of God. You are in the likeness of God. What we do is that we take dominion. We don't yield to the world. We take dominion. So you are not confused. I said you are not confused. So you can say you have depression. From what? There is depression. I'm having depression. I think I'm having suicidal thoughts. What's wrong with you? What does it mean? Most of those things, we get them from the world. You've read something. You've watched something. I remember in secondary school, there was this guy. In fact, the story is so vivid to me. He read a book. I won't tell you the book. As he read the book, he started to believe those things. And I began to say it. I'm this, I'm that. Then he said, and he got to a point and said, what's this world about? And you know, suddenly he wanted to kill himself. And you know, the bad part was that we the brethren, I'm talking about a born again person. We the brethren, compared to him, he was very heavily built. And we the brethren were only built in the Spirit. So we couldn't hold him. And I saw a supernatural influence. It wasn't, I just changed. So he was running, heading towards the place to just go and roll up. And it was not one brother. Me, I was just looking at him. Hey, I didn't even speak in tongues. Because what kind of tongues would I speak? I won't even understand the tongues. I never seen it before. And someone just prays in Jesus' name, stop there. And he stopped. And we brought him back. It was the book he was reading. So you find people say, I want to commit suicide. I'm fed up. You don't know suicide as a baby. You read it. You heard it. Give it all up. What's it for? Give it all up. You are giving nothing up. Hallelujah. Your life is worth it. Christ died for you. Hallelujah. Don't read rubbish. Is that okay? Don't read nonsense. Read God's word. When you read God's word, He gives you a life that has a meaning. I'm in the image of God. That means, you know, no matter who you are, I told you that you see, when you see people who are into perversion, that is his raw material. They were surprised that Jesus would have prostitutes sit at his feet. And some of those holier than thou hypocrites said, is this man not a prophet? What's he doing with a prostitute? How do they know she's a prostitute? Let's leave that area. How did they know? And he says, this woman, she has loved much. She's forgiven much. They saw him with different kinds of people. What is he doing with these kind of folks? Those were God's raw material. Who would have thought? You know, God is humorous. Who would have thought he's Saul of Tarsus? You know, when Saul of Tarsus was persecuting the church, and someone should come to you and say, do you know that guy is the apostle to the Gentiles? You say, they play. How can that one be the... You know, you almost say, no. Never. A terrorist. Never. This guy is somebody that we have dealt with in the spirit, that he's going to hell. I mean, you look at Ananias. Jesus appeared to him and said, yes, Lord. And he says, there's one guy, his name is Saul of Tarsus. He felt Jesus to say, this is the end. I'm sending you forth. He said, you are going to lay hands on him. He's praying. He said, Lord, I know you've been away for a while. I don't think you know the guy. This guy. Jesus said, go your way. Shut up. I've chosen him. Hallelujah. When we come in contact with Jesus, life makes a meaning. It makes sense. Hallelujah. That Saul of Tarsus, that guy, that fellow that the whole church was practically afraid of, I'm sure some people have prayed prayer of death for him. Lord, you can't watch somebody persecute your church like this. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. And that was the vessel. Hallelujah. And you know, God is very interesting. He chooses a Pharisee to preach the grace of God. He now picked a Jew who was raised a Gentile to preach the gospel that unites Jews and Gentiles. You know, God is very humorous. So the guy now said, what? He just chose the guy. And I'm telling you, there are people around you that you probably have written off. Ah, this one, Jesus didn't die for him. Is it thief at the right hand that died for this one? Not Jesus. The blood that will save this one. It's not the blood of Jesus. But that's God's candidate. That's God's apostle. Every man and woman is in that plan. Hallelujah. And what are we called to do? To multiply the earth with such in men. So you have a purpose. You cannot be in depression. You can't. You can't. You only yielded to depression. You can't. And you don't need a therapist. Read God's word. Know who you are. And come out of it. Who told you are choleric? Or sardine or sanguine? No, you are not. You are born of the Spirit. You are born of God. That's who you are. Your habits are in the Word. Your habits are from the Word. That's how I am. That's not how you are. You are born of God's Word. James 1:18 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. That we should be a kind of the first fruit of his own creature. Say, I'm born of God.
I'm born of God.
17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. 19 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be slow to speak, slow to wrath, and slow to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Say, laying aside all filthiness, verse 21, and superfluity of nothing, receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. 22 says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Which means that if you hear these things, and you are not making a practice of it, the word deceiving your own self is to act beside who you are. Deceiving your own self. May any be a hearer of the word. Another doer is likened unto a man who beholds his natural face in the mirror. That word there is face of Genesis. Straight away goeth his way and forget the manner of man he was. He only shouts in church, but when he gets to the car park, everything goes. He gets to walk, he has changed, she has changed. Gets home, he has changed, she has changed. He said no. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. Not being a hearer of the word, not being a hearer, but just a doer of the work. This man is blessed in his deeds. Say, I'm born of the word. The word of God is my identity. Say it again, the word of God is my identity. Say, the word of God is my identity. I have a purpose to live for. I have a purpose to live for. I have a purpose to live for. I am in the image of God. I'm in the likeness of God. Hallelujah. You have a purpose to live for. You take the purpose of your career. You take it to your home. You take it to your society. You reflect it in all the things that you do. Because there is no spiritual career. Do you understand? Careers are built with skill, desires, passion, ambition. But your character and purpose in them is defined by who God says you are. God will say, I call you a lawyer. I've called you and ordained you to be a lawyer. You need the Holy Spirit to be a lawyer. The best lawyers are not even Christians. So how is that be? But you can be the image of God in that profession. The likeness of God in that profession. There's a purpose you are living for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No room for depression. No room for depression. There's no suicidal thought here. We have purpose. We are full of joy. Hallelujah. We are filled with great expectations. Sit down for a minute. We are people of hope. We are never hopeless. How can we be hopeless? Because we are always filled with expectations. Hallelujah. Always filled with expectations. He told us to take dominion. To replenish it, to subdue it. Nothing intimidates us. Hallelujah. So no such thoughts. Banish it from your mind. Don't say you are useless. How can you be useless? You are born again. You mean God will give his spirit to you and you are useless? It's not possible. Paul told the church in Corinth, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? When some of them were given to sexual immorality, don't you know who you are? Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and it dwells in you, which you have of God. You are bought with a price. When they were going to cause it, don't you know who you are? Don't you know that the saints will judge the world? That's fine. Say, don't you know you also judge angels? He said, if you will judge supernatural beings, these issues are small. The word of God is my identity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our environments don't influence us. We are the influencers. The tribe we came out of does not influence us. Hallelujah. No. Don't say, well, yeah, because you came from a family where people are always fighting, there's always strife. No, you have a new family now. You have a supernatural family where we are led by the Spirit of God. We are led by the Spirit of God. We are led by the Spirit of God. And we walk in the Spirit. Don't say, that's how we are in our family. No, that's not it. We are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. You were called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Hallelujah. So never say, that's my character. Your character is in the Spirit. Your character is by the Spirit. Don't say, I get angry easily. No! You are ruled by the Spirit of God. You walk in the Spirit. Amen. Habits broken. Ungodly habits broken. Because we feed on the Word of God. And in Christ Jesus, we have acquired new habits. Hallelujah. We have control over our impulses. We have self-control. We have control over every habit. We form godly habits. Hallelujah. Because we are in His image. And we are after His likeness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So you must know who you are. There should be no confusing thoughts. There's no other image available in your mind. It's the image of God. It's the image of God. Don't get home and tell your wife, you know, that's how I am. I'll go ask my grandmother. She knows I don't take nonsense. You say, go and ask God. And God will say, He's in my image and my likeness. She'll say, Oga, does that look like His image and likeness? No. I'm in His image. In His likeness. Hallelujah. In that image, we take dominion. We take authority. Hallelujah. That's who we are. That's who we are. That's who we are. Amen. So banish all those thoughts. Banish them. Expel them. Excommunicate them. Cast them out. I don't know what to do. Kill them. Where are they coming from? His thoughts are your thoughts. I like how Gloria Copeland says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, he that is joined together with the Lord is one spirit. So His thoughts flow to our thoughts. We think His thoughts. We act His deeds. Because we are in His image. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are in His image. We are after His likeness. Hallelujah. We stay and stand. Amen. In that identity. That's who we are. That's who we are. Hallelujah. That's who we are. That's who we are. That's who we are. That's who we are. So all of us here, we have the same identity. In Christ Jesus. All of us. Don't say, you know, you are a very gentle person. Me, I'm not gentle. Nope. You are reading the wrong things. Because the fruit of the Spirit is the same. Hallelujah. You say, you know, you like to settle disputes. Me, I don't care. Mm-mm. That me you mentioned is a disguise. The real you settles disputes. In Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I know who I am. I know who I am. Let me say this in closing. You know, it will be so horrible if you are going to preach the gospel to people and you don't even know who you are. And you're just going religiously to go and preach. Oh boy, how are you? They say, I should come and tell you, you must not go to hell. You want to give your life to Christ? Please give your life, oh. You know, there was someone who asked someone, he said, the person came to preach to him. So he said, so you said you go to heaven. When we believe in Jesus, we go to heaven. And I asked the guy, he said, can you tell me confidently that you will get to heaven? The guy started to stammer. The person who came to preach said, can you tell me confidently? Can I say, well, I don't want to boast, though. So he's not even sure of what he's preaching. Hallelujah. We are confident. We have no identity crisis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know who I am. Amen. Did you not read it? That which made them at the beginning in His image. Hallelujah. That's the beginning. And we said the beginning is the plan. Right? The foundation. Right? Let me use that sister's word. Virtual reality. The 3D drawing. So what do I see in the plan? I function in the image of God. So if we are at the end of the world, we are bringing it into fulfillment. In our different spheres of existence, different spheres of society, pardon me, and different things that we do. Guys, rise up to this. Know who you are. It's almost the greatest information. When you know who you are, and that is how you speak and react to life circumstances. Years ago, I went for a medical checkup. And the doctor told me, he said, well, the way I'm seeing this is an incurable disease. That was the second time I heard that, actually. I'd heard one 31 years ago now, almost 31 years ago. This one was about 21 years ago. And the doctor said, you know, this thing is going to be incurable. You're going to have to do this. I said, no, it's not incurable. I said, I'll be healed. He said, you don't know, don't you understand what I'm saying? I said, no, you don't understand what I am saying. It's the other way around. The man laughed, and I laughed too. Never let the devil have the last say. If you laugh, I'll laugh back. If you talk, you won't have the last statements. Talk, I'll talk back. So I went off. Took like 2 weeks. No, I said, give me 2 weeks. I told him to give me 2 weeks. I didn't use 2 weeks. It took a while. Just stayed on the water. Just those basic things. I went back there and did my checks. They ran the checks. They went through the line. I said, sit down. I was just laughing. He said, maybe we made a mistake the first time. I said, you didn't make any mistake. Hallelujah. I allowed my identity to change the situation. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the greatest information you can have. Knowing who you are. Peer pressure won't work on you. You won't be someone like, okay, because we are somewhere and then you are vulnerable to, you know, yielding to peer pressure. No! I know who I am. I know who I am. I am in His image. Do you know, because we are in His image, that's why we are called the temple of God. Hallelujah. You believe this? Lift your hands and come on, please. Bless His name.